Hello, everybody. This is Take the Black Live, the show where myself, Dan Selke, editor of WinnersComing.net, and
me, Mia Johnson, entertainment editor at fansided.com,
talk about all things Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, fantasy, sci-fi, genre, television, movies, awards, actors, actresses, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. And we're here today with a full plate because a lot's happening this week. Bizarrely, I don't know, we got back from break and it was just bam, 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 bam.
And time to, you know, open the floodgates.
The TCA, as the Oscars came out. Hello, everybody watching. Hey, Sherry. Hey, everyone else in there. Feel free to comment. We can talk. We can chat. I got a haircut. No one said anything about it yet. I'm very offended by that. Thank you very much, Richard. I thought we would start off with some Game of Thrones stuff, as usual. Hey, Julie. Hope everything's fine in Australia.
Yeah.
As always. Sympathies for everything happening there. But with some a little happier news. First things first, Fire and Blood, the George R. R. Martin's latest Song of Ice and Fire book that isn't in A Song of Ice and Fire, is getting a paperback edition. Fire and Blood being the book about the history of the Targaryen dynasty that HBO is making into their next show. They are basing the new show, House of the Dragon, off this thing.
Okay.
Came out in hardback. It was a hit, because of course it is. I think a lot of people, I'm not going to lie, were probably like, a new book from George R. R. Martin, it's here! And then they're like, wait a minute.
Like, if you don't see, like, the fine print, they think that they've kind of got you. They're like, yeah, look at this. It's a new, not that new.
Thank you, Julie and Harry. Thank you, Julie and Sherry. You guys noticed my haircut, as people should. Thank you very much. I don't suppose you picked that up, have you?
Me? Oh, yeah. You think? No.
Yeah, I don't know why.
No. I didn't think. I didn't even know that they were reprinting these books to begin with.
It's
so
good.
They are reprints, but just like
it's a paperback.
And you know what? I'm not a big paperback fan.
What?
I'm not.
But they're cheaper. Yeah, I only do paperbacks.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan of like the really like sturdy. I mean, maybe depending on like what the book is, but most times I'm team paperback. I mean, team hardcover.
Team hardcover, yes. Diane asks, relatedly, hi, you guys, have you heard anything about House of the Dragon yet? We haven't, Diane. There are starting to be some rumblings, actually. There was, like, some stuff on Twitter today earlier. People like, they've closed down this road in Northern Ireland for the next 3 days for filming, like House of the Dragon. But I was wondering, so this paperback of Fire and Blood, which is what House of the Dragon is based on, is coming out May. I think I wrote it down.
Yeah.
On May 1st. I was wondering, and this is just Hope Springs Eternal section here,
yeah,
that, you know, if they're going to release the book that they're going to base this new show off around May 1st, might we hear something around then? Ooh. We're going to coordinate a little bit. Or, you know, even better, maybe he'll use it as a springboard to announce something about the sixth book, Song of Fire series, which I just want to reiterate. I think we should reiterate this whenever we get a chance. George R. R. Martin did promise, kind of jokingly, but it doesn't matter, that he would have The Winds of Winter done by this August, or we could imprison him on a volcanic island off the coast of New Zealand near a lake of sulfuric acid, which does exist. YouTube it sometime. It's really wild. So that's what we're counting down to.
Yeah. I don't want to be in that Facebook group that's like, all right, how are we going to round up George R. R. Martin? We meet at dawn.
I feel like we should also say just to do not round up George R. R. Martin ship into a sulfuric acid island. But it is fun to talk about.
We do not advise. But yeah, maybe they are plotting something like deeper. It would be cool to kind of have that going on. Because actually, when did... the last season aired in May, was that right?
Yeah, it ended in May.
So maybe it's kind of like a one-year anniversary, like, hey guys, guess who's back? It's us.
And the discourse will ramp on up. Also, by the way, Sherry loves paperbacks, so me and Sherry are on team paperback.
You know, it's fine.
No, it's a competition. It's a fight. It has to be. This is the internet. Haven't you learned anything?
That's true. Pick a side.
Everything wrong with everything is what that is, but... Speaking of Game of Thrones stuff, also this year, they were going to open the Game of Thrones studio tour at Linen Mills Studio in Corbett, Bainbridge, Northern Ireland, where they shot a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
We just got some details. Those are some artist mock-ups of what it'll look like when the Winterfell section is done. This should be pretty cool. You know, they'll have props, they'll have costumes, they'll have literal sets.
Yeah.
This is where the show was, well, one of the several locations where it was filmed. You got a nice Winterfell set there. Pretty cool. A lovely King's Landing map room set.
Oh, I would love to be out there.
Oh, yeah. I would 100% go to this.
I also,
it looks fun.
It makes me wonder if they're going to be open to picture. I mean, to me, this looks like an Instagrammer's dream. And yeah, just like, just, you know, us normies too. But like just those like being in the set and on the set. But I know sometimes they get particular about those types of things. Like, no, you can't take pictures. You're here, or like you're blocking, or it's like.
I mean, today when like everyone has like a phone, like it's so hard to prevent taking pictures.
It is, yeah.
Unless you're gonna confiscate my phone, like what are you gonna
what
do?
Are you gonna
really?
Do? This is Game of Thrones time. There are no phones.
That would be good. And here's a stole or a fur or something. No, it looks pretty cool. It wants 600,000 visitors a year. It's going to employ 200 people full time.
That's
open
awesome.
12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Well, okay. I don't know specifically where in Northern Ireland this is, but the fact
that it is in Northern
Ireland, it's like, out of all the places in the world, why do we have to make the trek? Well, I guess for some people it's not a trek, but.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's there because Game of Thrones has, from the beginning and up to now, now, has a very close relationship with Northern Ireland. That's like was its base of operations.
Yeah.
And it fueled the economy of that place. Mm. It turned Northern Ireland into a place where Hollywood productions go to film and take seriously. It had a huge effect. I do think, I mean, I'm not going to say it owed it, but it feels appropriate to me that
I
it would
that.
Be there.
Yeah, I get that.
And, you know, also that's like where they actually film stuff there. So if you want the authentic experience, you go to Northern Ireland.
All right.
Another film. It's like the Lord of the Rings show on Amazon. Like they're going to New Zealand to do
it. Right. Yeah. It's definitely like a good tourism boost. Kind of like how like all the cities wanted like the George Lucas Museum, which unfortunately lost out on. But at this point,
is a sordid tale.
Yeah. So that, or like, I believe there's the Doctor Who Museum somewhere in Wales because they do
that
like film me on there too. So I get it. And like, if you just are like a really, really big super fan, it's like, maybe it's worth going out there.
By the way, really quick, have to read this comment from Julie because it's brilliant. How's the vodka today, Dan? I'll just ask, none of your business.
Ooh, take a sip.
That's good. We actually do have a bunch of booze we still need to get through out there.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones booze. So we got to remember to pick that in sometime and just get crunk when we talk about stuff. A huge trek for me, says Julie. Yes, we can get a job there. Why not? 200 people. Will the Hound be there? Asked Marsha. Will the Hound be there? I bet they'll have people come in, like cast members to come in and like do a ribbon cutting.
That'd
or
be nice.
Come by occasionally to do stuff. I'm betting it.
I like to see the Hound stopping by.
The Hound is like a notorious recluse, the guy who plays him. It's brilliant. He lives on a boat or something.
Wait a minute.
It's great. It's really
fascinating. Okay, just make one exception just for this, please.
Exactly. What's happening in the world of Game of Thrones? So, Ian Glenn's coming to Con of Thrones this year, which is in Florida. Where is the George Lucas Museum, by the way? Where did it end up?
LA, maybe? I can't say with 100% confidence.
Because we're in Chicago, and we were going to get it for a while, and then these busybodies swooped in, and we're like, no, it'll block the view from our apartment complexes, and it was awful. The Friends of the Park. I'm an enemy of the Friends of the Park. That's what I am.
No, I'm trying to do, like, the world's fastest Google search.
It's on Alderaan. Well, it's not going to be there very long. Kaboom, blam, it's all going to go away.
Yeah, I believe, it's L.A., yeah.
Of course it is. We could have had it in Chicago, and we passed it up because some rich folk like their lakeside views. Ridiculous.
I mean, it's part of the, it's a whole nother story.
There was nothing in that space. Okay, sorry. That was a while ago. I'm still a little mad about it.
It was the city plans, and they didn't want to, like, obstruct, like, the nature or something like that.
The nature? It's okay. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
You had some concerns or just some issues you wanted to talk about. What's happening in the wide world of Marvel recently.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
A lot of things. One of the biggest things this week was that Scott Derrickson is no longer the director of Doctor Strange 2, which is called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
What a great title.
It really is.
Such a good title.
It really is.
They are, like, Thor Love and Thunder is a great title, too.
Yeah.
They are killing the title game recently.
That was really good. And this one was the one where they were really supposed to go, like, full on in, like, the horror genre. And I don't think that's going to change because, like, Kevin Feige went up on the stage at San Diego Comic-Con and was like, this is going to be a horror movie. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be our first, like, real horror movie. And because Scott Derrickson was on the project and he's had, you know, his own little, like, horror projects too, mm-hmm. it was like, okay, he's really going to do this justice. So now I'm concerned that, you know, this is once again those, like, creative differences, you know, sort of partings. Yeah. And there have been rumors. I don't trust the rumors that have come out recently saying, like, he wanted to, like, kill off characters. And Kevin Feige was like, no. But that is where we're left with Doctor Strange.
I mean, what's interesting to me about that is that it seems we could extrapolate a little bit.
Yeah.
So Doctor Strange loses its director, which doesn't happen a lot on Marvel movies. Usually they've been pretty good as opposed to Star Wars, where they're turnover like crazy.
Yeah.
Of, like, keeping stuff in line.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing some rumblings. We also heard this rumor, which, to be fair, is kind of unconfirmed, but I'm going to talk about it anyway, that the Hawkeye show for Disney Plus has been indefinitely delayed for a while they sort stuff out or look for new people to cast. Which,
it's like,
I mean, we should mention that's not for sure. Something like Derrickson. Also, less seriously, because they really couldn't help this one. Falcon and the Winter Soldier got delayed because of earthquakes in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's not a thing I would chalk up to.
You can't blame nature on. Or can we blame Disney on nature?
But here, the question I'm going to pose to you about this and all of you watching the audience is, I think up to now, Marvel has been pretty remarkable in the way that it's made so many successful, popular, critically acclaimed, good movies, one after the other, after the other, after the other, that all tie together in a show of synergy that Kathleen Kennedy can only just weep openly about. Is this a sign that things might be a little rockier now that we're going into uncharted territory?
I don't think so. Not yet. I think that we have seen stuff like the whole Josh Whedon thing, like once we get around to like Avengers Age of Ultron, and it's like, okay, you're not going to direct the next Avengers movies.
But even then, like, they recovered pretty nicely.
They recovered with the Russos, with Ant-Man, I believe. Oh, gosh.
Oh, Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright was supposed to direct that, and so he dropped out of that. I don't know if Scott Derrickson was the first choice for Doctor Strange, but it's like they've had like a few, like, you know, switcheroos here and there. So I can't say that this is going to be like their, like, unbecoming, or like even with the James Gunn thing with
Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
So they're like, oh, we'll wait it over and then bring him back. So that still hasn't played out either, because he's been doing the Suicide Squad or Suicide Squad 2. So we can't really tell what that's going to be like, but I can't really, like, foretell them having just, like, a full-on, like, Justice League problem. Where it's just, like,
I agree. I think
where it's like you've got this Frankenstein of a script, which is what I think happened with Rise of Skywalker as well, where you've got, like, so many people giving their input to the point where it's just, like, unrecognizable by the time it's over.
Did you see that, like, the Colin Trevorrow script
I've got something drafted up about that. Even though I just saw a couple things today, if we're going a little bit off script, that like Collider had sources where they confirmed it. The AV Club had sources where they confirmed that was like the real kind of like original script to Episode 9 Star Wars. So a lot of behind the scenes things coming to light.
The more distance we get, it's interesting too, because like it's all Disney, but there are these two segments, like Lucasfilm and Marvel, and one is like just run like clockwork and just so hit out of the park every time. And the other is sort of a mess. It's just cool how interesting how it can just
I think what it might be
different.
Is that I really like to have faith in Kevin Feige. So like, I don't know if Disney really throws down the hammer and they're like, okay, we don't like this, it needs to change. Or Kevin Feige is like, we need to kind of stick to the script. And that's how he keeps things in line, versus Star Wars is just like, yeah, we'll just, whatever happens, happens sort of thing. But
I'm so tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
As Sherry points out, speaking of just superheroes and Disney and Game of Thrones, the New Mutants is finally getting released with Maisie Williams in it.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, it's going to be so weird. It's going to be like looking back in time. Because like, it's not, it wasn't made to be part of their MCU.
Right.
But I guess technically they are our Marvel characters, even though they're not going to be MCU characters.
Exactly.
It's going to be strange.
I mean, if you think about it, though, the mutants were all like the part of the X-Men anyway. And the X-Men, because they were Fox, were always independent of the MCU. Uh-huh. So we kind of like took it at face value. Like, okay, they are Marvel heroes, but because they're the X-Men, we know that they're not even going to talk about Tony Stark. What is interesting is I think that the new mutants were supposed to like kick off like, okay, now we can have Maisie Williams do like her own, basically have it be like the X-Men, but they're the new mutants. And now that
sort of doubting
that. Yeah. Now that Disney, you know, bought Fox out, it's kind of like, and that is over. So that's kind of sad.
But it'll be nice.
Yeah.
She also points out, Sherry, I wrote this down, which we're going to talk about it, that Fox is open to a Firefly revival, which I would also be into.
Really?
Miniseries I would do. Not a whole series. Don't go crazy, people.
Oh, it's been so long. Let them have what they want.
And Britannia has approved for a third season. I am so glad you're enjoying that, Julie. Britannia. I still have not gotten around to watching it. I really have to. That and Oak Island. Oak Island is my white whale. Okay, so with all that out of the way, I thought we would discuss some recent news involving the Academy Awards, the Oscars, 2020, 82nd, I forget what number it is. But the Oscars were announced, nominations on Monday, and they kicked up some dust.
Mm-hmm.
Mia, kick us off. What do you think of the Oscar nominations?
Should we
read this, the Best Picture nominees maybe first?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to read that. Best Picture nominees for this year. Ford versus Ferrari. I didn't see a lot of these, by the way. I'm very sorry. The Irishman. It's too long. I'll see it. Jojo Rabbit. Hitler Story. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. Joker, which got 11 nominations, the most nominations. Yeah. The only genre film here, unless you count Jojo Rabbit, Hitler Ghost. And it's Dominate, which I think is important, but also a little spooky because that movie has some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Little Women, which I saw and like loved. I thought it beat the crap out of The Rise of Skywalker, to be honest with you. I saw those two over the break, and I was like, I referenced that one again.
One is more superior.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I thought was a little overrated. Did you see it?
No, my brother told me about it, and he was like, exactly probably what you said. It was a little overrated.
It's a very, like, Hollywood loves to talk about itself.
Yeah.
And the whole time I was like, so what's the point of this movie? But okay. Marriage Story, which is very, very good, I hear.
Yeah.
Parasite, which I've got to see. Everyone loves that one. I'm going to see that one.
Yeah.
And the war movie, 1917, starring Tommen Baratheon as a World War I soldier who never cuts away from.
Yeah. I don't know. You could not get me to see a war movie. I'm sorry.
I love war movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I don't know. They kind of have the same things going on in them a lot of the time. So what are your thoughts? Not about that, just Oscars in general. Do you have anything you want to discuss?
I think one of the big ones that a lot of people brought up, I don't even know if this was in our, kind of sort of in our notes about just like the lack of, I think diversity is the hugest one. People always throw it out. And I don't know if maybe I'm like, not to say so over it to the point where it's like, I don't care that there were no like, who was it? The Harriet actress was like the only woman of color. Anyway, it's to the point where it's like, I am just like, it's so tiring to have this conversation over and over again to the point where it's like, you almost kind of feel numb to it. It's like, well, what do we do at this point? Because there were like one of the snubs that people said was like Lupita Nyong'o in Us, where she played basically two characters, two completely different characters. And it's kind of like, you know, it's still overwhelmingly white, as they say, and overwhelmingly male. And especially the director's category as well. Like, no Greta Gerwig. Yeah,
that
no
was the one that stirred
all.
Up the, the dust. That no women were nominated in the best director's category.
So it's like, I haven't vocalized this before, but it's like, I'm kind of tired of this. It's like, why every year? Why? It's like, I just want to shake them and be like, why are you doing this?
I mean, I looked at some stuff. It's interesting because, I mean, I think Oscar So White was 2015.
Like, yeah, it was like around 5 years
ago. And there's a big outcry about diversity in the award ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And they made an effort. Like, Hollywood did try, like, purposely to increase, to diversify the voting block.
Right, yeah.
And there was actually an effort they made. They tried to get
that was good,
there. And it has borne some fruit. But, I mean, like, it's all relative, right? So, like, the fruit it bore was that in the past several years, I think, I know I wrote it down. Tell me I wrote it down. That, oh no, I can't find it. That women now make up a bigger percentage of it, but it's still only like from like 25 to 30.
The Academy.
And people of color make up, it jumped from like 15 to 20.
Yeah, so the Academy made an effort. Okay, 16% of Academy members are people of color, up from 8%, and 32% are now women, up from 25%.
It's down there, Dan.
Come on. We've got our notes prepared.
And in terms of movies, like this year, I think this was a record year for movies directed by women out into theaters, which is it's great. It's progress. But at the same time, it's only 15%. I mean, it's not like... it's a record year, but it's still pretty low.
It's like progress is progress, but we've still got, you know, ways to go. This does remind me, though, of the BAFTAs, which had, I would say, an even worse time. I don't think they had any people of color, per se, that they nominated. And their response to it, where they, like, put out a formalized, like, apology, which really? Was, like, so British. And they're like, oh, well, we're so sorry that this has happened. But unfortunately, there was not, like, a qualified field of candidates or something for us to have chosen to make diverse candidates. Like, ooh, did you? Who admits that?
Yeah, that's just like
not like sorry.
Even
we'll
if
do
you
believe next.
That, like, you should put that in writing.
Like, no, none of you all were good enough. Sorry, Queen and Slim, and you know all these other Harriet. Sorry, we just couldn't acknowledge you. Sorry, you weren't good enough.
I mean, it's a slow, torturous climb.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought the year was pretty good for movies. I saw a lot that I liked. But yeah, I don't think it's anywhere near done grappling with itself yet.
Yeah.
I don't think that journey is over by any means. Yeah.
Sherry, I would also like to mention, Sherry says, and once again, Endgame didn't make it. Thank you. I wouldn't say I'm surprised, but I do think Black Panther last year giving it Best Picture was kind of like, I would love to believe it was in their best interest to give them the Best Picture nomination. But something also bad, it was like to me, they almost felt pressured to do it, or else they would be like,
Panther?
Yeah, to me, yeah, I would love to feel like genuinely, you know, sincere about the nomination. And I do, it's like, okay, that's great that they did it. But I don't know, something like in the back of my mind is just saying, they just kind of did it just so they can like just have people get off their backs about it. Because that's also when they had the Kevin Hart thing, and it was like, okay, let's just give them something to shut up about.
There's just no host. Yeah, so, again, I think they're just going with that.
Yeah, no host for this one. So
I would say I would put Endgame over Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, I mean, it was still like, if we're going to ignore like the whole Martin Scorsese, you know, it's just a theme park movie or whatever.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? If the Russos like beat him out or something.
Oh, yeah. Endgame versus Irishman. Oh, I would love to.
Would have been a good time.
See, I think maybe that's what the Oscars needs. Like, they need to shake it up a little bit, because at this point, I'm like, it's just, you know.
I would say, what would you say that the Joker is shaking it up a bit? Because it's weird that there were two giant superhero films this year.
Yeah.
Endgame's more successful, but I mean, like, than anything ever. Joker got in a big way, like 11 nominations. I feel like Joaquin Phoenix is like, it's kind of a lock for best actor.
Yeah.
He was extremely good. I'm not going to discount that.
Yeah, as far as performances.
Do you think you can hold Joker up as here's the Academy crumbling in terms of letting more genre films in? Or is this a weird special case?
This to me also seems like a weird special case, because it does feel like, most superhero movies and comic book movies feel like, okay, this is a comic book movie. The Joker has very little to me where it's like this, like 100% is like a comic book movie.
I agree. And that was intentional, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, Pat Phillips
wanted to make something that was more kind of Diet Scorsese, basically.
Exactly. I think that's kind of where the Joker slid in. And there's been this whole conversation, like what we're talking about now, like, okay, so does that mean comic book movies or this type of genre movie are allowed to be a part of the Oscars? And I don't know. It would take something like having Endgame, or like, let's say Black Widow gets nominated for Best Picture next year or something like that. Like, once
it
we have those.
It does now have two Oscar nominees in it. Overnight, Black Widow became like the... superhero movie with the high caliber acting talent.
Yeah, Rachel Weisz, Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh. I'm a giant new fan of her.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves her. Yeah.
From Little Women, she was great.
Apparently, she's dating Zach Braff. I just found that out.
Oh, really?
Not that
well,
we're
now
like
a, I hate her.
Not that we're a celebrity well gossip down. Site, but I read that yesterday. I was like, oh, okay. So people make their own choices, and that's fine.
I trusted you, Florence Pugh. I thought you were cool.
So that is that. But yeah, so I guess I will watch the Oscars.
Oh, sure.
I will follow through with it. And at some point, I guess it'll get better. But it's like, yeah, when you have names like, and no offense to Tom Hanks, because I love him. It's like this year's nominees, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Brad Pitt. And I don't know what year it is. Like, oh, okay. I thought this was 2020.
Huh. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so.
And he'll win, Brad Pitt, I think. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
He's a good producer. All right, so that's...
That was the Oscars.
That's the Oscars.
That was long-winded. Very I don't exciting. Even think we... I don't even think I have the strength in me to talk about Stephen King.
No, I don't. Oh, it was bad. Look up Twitter and Stephen King if you have... If you feel like getting really outraged for a minute. Yeah. He said some dumb stuff. And then took it back. It was bizarre. Okay. There is a lot of stuff that happened to this week and stuff, so I thought we would go through some other big news items in a kind of lightning round fashion and just say quickly, are we excited? Are we interested? What do we know? What's happening? And update you on it and also work through our own complicated feelings on it.
Yes.
In a quick-ish way. Okay, really fast. Lock and Key is a big show by Stephen King's son, incidentally, comic book series. Next February 20th. It's a very popular comic book series. Have you ever heard of it? I never really have, but I know there's a lot of buzz around it.
I haven't heard of it until I saw like the promotions.
I was writing up like the synopsis. I hadn't heard of the show before. Mm-hmm. And it was all like, the key fan moves into the key house and finds keys to unlock different key realms. Like, you are saying key a lot.
That's a lot of keys.
But hopefully, if I watch it, it falls together more. Yeah. It looks interesting.
Yeah.
I'm always up for a new, it's kind of like a spooky Narnia is what it looks like to me. So I'm all for that.
That's on Netflix, yeah.
Westworld Season 3 has a release date.
Yes.
March 15th, which is not that far away
now,
at all.
Now, here's something. I finally started watching Westworld.
Really?
And you know what? I found out that I am definitely a sci-fi person over a fantasy person. I knew I was going to love Westworld because I do like the whole, like, kind of reminds me of, like, Black Mirror and
totally
all those things. You know, anything that has to do with, like, androids or, like, AI and all that, that really gets me. So I knew I was going to like this. I actually started watching it because I saw that they were kicking off Season 3.
Right.
Or they had the announcement at least. And so I was like, let me just get into this once and for all. So that, yeah, Season 3 is coming March 15th. I guess I've got 3 months to binge watch 2 seasons, so that's not terrible.
Oh, that's fine.
That's not bad. So I'm actually kind of excited about that.
But curious to hear your opinion on it, because it gets weird in the second season.
I think
so. If you have opinions, feel free.
I might be able to handle it. we'll talk. Maybe leading up to March 15th, we'll be able to talk.
I'm looking forward to it. I enjoyed the first season a lot. Second season was. But they changed, without spoiling it, they changed things up for the third season. They're kind of like repiloting a bit. And I'm looking forward to seeing where they go.
Oh, okay.
It's a show that has a lot of ideas on its brain. It definitely is a, it has things to say.
I get it.
I think it didn't say them particularly well last season. But if it corrects course, it could be really good.
Okay.
Okay. Penny Dreadful, City of Angels, coming to Showtime April 26th. Did you watch the original Penny Dreadful?
I didn't.
I did. I went back and watched it.
When was that?
It was not that long ago, like 2 years. Marjorie Terrell, Natalie Dormer, serving all the face as a demoness named Magda. Original show, very beloved, cult hit. The original show was set in Victorian times, and it was all about, like, it's Frankenstein, and it's the Wolfman, and Dracula, and other like kind of Victorian kind of characters. Very richly produced, really well acted, like campy material, but treated seriously, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. The new one is set in Los Angeles, like in pre-World War II. It's about like Mexican folklore. Ooh. And Natalie Dormer serves all the face, obviously. Yes. I love that shot. She has lots of stuff like that in the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. I think it's an interesting show with a point of view, the original one had, and so does this one. So I'll be watching that.
Interesting. Oh, she looks so good.
She looks really good. I'm glad she's getting work. I mean, a little weird because she plays like a Hispanic goddess, like a death goddess. Oh, really? Of like Mexican American folklore. And I'm like, you're British, but yeah. Okay, we'll just see how that goes. In movie news, Jared Leto is Morbius.
Morbius, yeah.
The
Spider-Man, living vampire.
Is that his title, like the living vampire?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, they kind of, it gets explained in the trailer. It's basically like he is a vampire, but not like, oh, he is a vampire. He just so happens to have vampire like traits.
Okay, I get it. I get it.
I'm explaining that.
So like, so he has one of those, like, I'm guessing, one of those like superhero experiments that go wrong. They always mm-hmm. do. And he gets like, you know, blood sucking, white skin, can't go out in the daytime.
Basically.
All the vampire powers, but he isn't an actual killed and resurrected vampire.
Right. So
great. Really great Marvel. Yeah. Clever.
Well, Sony's really digging through the Spider-Man archives to create their own like Spider-Man universe. Kind of like they want to have their own MCU, and it may or may not pan out well. Something that's interesting though is at the end of this first teaser trailer that we got that came out this week is that Vulture appears, Michael Keaton.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, ooh, are they going to form like a Sinister Six movie where they have all the villains gang up on Spider-Man at some point? I think that's where they've been trying to do that for a while now, but they just haven't like been able to do it because they had to reboot the entire Spider-Man series. So,
but it'll be kind of cool because like it's like the anti-Avengers. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, if they're going to lead up to a big Avengers movie, all the heroes get together, we'll just do the villain thing.
Yeah, basically. And what they had was there was also like a little cameo shot of Spider-Man in there. And it's like, ooh, Spider-Man's a murderer and everybody hates him. And it's like, you really buy that? Okay. So.
Oh my God. They just dropped news about House of the Dragon.
Ooh, wow.
To launch in 2022, it says. House of the Dragon launched 2022. HBO boss on more Game of Thrones and pilot that didn't go. Oh my God, things are breaking.
Okay,
this just in. House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel show about the Targaryens, launched in 2022. I'll read this deadline article really quick. My guess, summer in 2022. He said, they are starting writing, said Blois, who is the kind of the programming president guy. Yeah, there you go.
All right, well.
Obviously, it's a big, complicated show, Blois said. That's really helpful, Blois. Thank you so much. For me right now, I think getting House of the Dragon on the air will be the number one priority. There are no other blinking green lights or anything like that. Sometime down the road, who knows? But there are no immediate plans. We are focusing on House of the Dragon. I thought that's for like other Game of Thrones prequels.
I get it. Yeah.
And then he also talked about what happened to the other Game of Thrones pilot that didn't go.
Uh-oh.
Casey Blois' voice. I don't know what he sounds like, so I'll just talk normal. In development, in pilots, sometimes things come together, sometimes they don't. One of the things I think Jane Goldman took on beautifully, which was a challenge, there was a lot more role creation before, because she set hers 8,000 years before the Mothership show, so it required a lot more. That is a big swing. One of the things about House of the Dragon, there is a text, Fire and Blood, we talked about it earlier. Oh my God, circulation.
Yeah.
There is a book, so that made a little bit more of a roadmap for a series order. Even between the lines, she wrote horrible characters, I guess. I think Jane did a beautiful job. It was a big challenge, but there was nothing that I would point to and say, oh, that one element did not work, just overall did not quite gel. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons when we started out to think about, is there a life after Game of Thrones in terms of Game of Thrones? We purposely developed multiple projects. We would have been very lucky to do one pilot, have that pilot go and be a success, but development, as you know, it takes a lot of tries to get it right. This is no different. All right, there you go. Oh. House of the Dragon coming 2022-ish.
All right.
That sounds about right. Yeah. If you're going to have a big show about featuring lots of dragons and people with very expensive white wigs, you're going to need a year or two to get it right.
Wow. Okay. I mean, two years sounds reasonable.
Yeah, it worked. Jerry says that perhaps George is done and now is helping with House of the Dragon. I doubt it.
Aw, don't get our hopes up.
That is a while. 2 years is a while to wait. But I mean, look.
Production-wise.
I mean, it's Game of Thrones' own fault. It, by the end of it, it was looking so great. Yeah. Like, if that's the standard they want to hit, they can't get it out this year. It's not happening. There's way.
Yeah. So.
It'll be a while, but you know, I'll be 50, but it'll
Wait it'll a be minute. Fine.
Exciting stuff, though.
Yeah.
Good. We have a release date thing. I wonder if they'll have writing or casting answered soon. I hope they cast fun people. I hope they cast Naomi Watts. I hope they cast Cheryl. I hope they cast Meryl Streep. I hope they cast everybody.
Meryl Streep.
She's on an HBO show. Why not?
That's true.
She could play Dina Targaryen or whatever.
Dream casting.
Nancy
right
Targaryen.
There. Nancy.
And finally, one other thing I wanted to hit before we signed off was today, because the TCAs are happening, the Television Critics Association press tour, which is why all this new stuff is breaking this week and all this stuff is going up crazy. The guy who's running the Wheel of Time show at Amazon, Rafe Judkins, who got to start as a Survivor contestant, by the way.
Oh.
It can go anywhere your career.
Interesting.
Released an official set photo from the Wheel of Time set on a mysterious mountaintop somewhere.
Oh.
So they're rolling on that. I'm betting that'll be like 2021. So we're going to have all these big fantasy shows come out. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to fall to HBO to be like, and now the original.
Yeah.
The original comes back. Can it beat them all? We'll see.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, I'm excited about that. I have not gotten around to reading The Wheel of Time yet because it's like 14 books and I'm already reading other stuff, but I will do it. Whew. It's 14 books. They're all very long. The guy died in the middle of writing them. Someone else had to complete them.
Oh.
This is years ago.
Okay. Okay. But, well,
yeah, that's true. Fantasy authors just tend to go on.
They got a lot to say. Maybe it's just like they just have these fantastical worlds in their minds. And it's like, there's no way I can just stop right now. I have to give everybody a story and everybody a quest and all that. Which, I mean, it's good to have a creative mind. I would love to have something like that.
Oh, sure. We all would.
Yeah.
We can write it together. I have so many ideas.
Oh, snap.
Julie says, of course, I wonder if Wins will be out by then. Nah. Mm. Oh, God. I do, too. It's definitely a possibility that won't be. If we're here 2 years later and George Martin is still going like, yeah, I'm working on it. It's coming along. But, you know, I'm just trying to break through the story. But that'll be then. Well, what a fun little capper to this episode to get some breaking news.
Yeah, a lot.
Any other comments you want to make about anything
fans
here?
Fans are crying. Outlander. Yes, Outlander.
Outlander, yes. And Picard is right around the corner.
Picard, yeah. That's, I think, like, some people are seeing screenings or something, so I think the reviews might start coming in.
Yeah.
That should be exciting. But
It's already out for season two already.
Yeah.
Because they know they have to invest a lot of time in these now, so they can't afford to wait and see, is it good? People like it before renewing. They got to do it now.
Well,
thanks, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Look at what you've done.
What hath you wrought? Some interesting times, what you've wrought. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
Oh, I think we're all good here.
In that case, I'm going to sign off with a desperate plea for anybody watching, if they're interested, to go on iTunes, Google Play, wherever podcasts are available, and rate us a million stars, leave a review that just heaps praise upon our hosting abilities and insight. And, you know, that'll help us expand our reach if we can. And we'll be back here next Wednesday. Maybe a little more of our House of the Dragon breakdown, because now I want to get into it.
Yeah.
Here at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time on the Winter's Play Facebook page. Hope to see you then, guys. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. Bye.